So hello, welcome to my talk about building a web API for the Fedora installer. So my name is Martin Kohlmann, and I work in the team that's building the Anaconda installer used by Fedora, RHEL, CentOS, and related distributions. First, I would like to talk a bit about like why we decided to actually build a web API for our installer. And first, like very shortly about like the Fedora installer project. The name of it is Anaconda, which is very confusing for some people doing Python in the scientific domain, because there is a very similar project in that it's like a Python thing, but it's called the same as we. But I think we are older. So anyway, right now we have a GTK3 UI for the installer. We have a text-based UI. It's also possible to fully automate the installation. We have things like add-on support, and we are used, as I mentioned, by Fedora, RHEL, CentOS, and others. This talk is basically concerning only the graphical user interface. We don't expect to have any changes for the text-based interface and the Kickstart-based automation in the context of the web UI. So why did we actually choose to do something about the current graphical interface, and why did we choose to start working on a web UI? One of the points is that the current GTK interface comes from the year 2013, kind of looks like early GNOME 3, by coincidence maybe. It was built at the same time, basically. And over time, we added new features, we fixed bugs, we adapted to various Fedora changes, for example. And the stuff kind of got bolted on. Like, not always it was possible to change the UI. So in some cases, it's getting a bit clunky already. Another issue is that some of the technology we build it on is getting a bit old right now. Like GTK3 is not that old at the moment, but already you have GTK4. Eventually, we would have to port it. One of the issues is, for example, that the Fedora installation image, the Fedora project tries to have minimal dependencies of applications. So, like, over time, you want to have like the minimum amount of libraries. So we would have to quite possibly migrate to keep the image sizes small. That's one of the reasons. We also still run on top of X. There is even some hard dependency right now on keyboard switching during the installation. So this is something we would have to address anyway. The remote access to a graphical installation right now is not the best. It's based on VNC. So it's unsecure. It's not very efficient. It requires you to have a graphical system running on the host that you are installing, and you need a special application that might not be available, that users might need to install. So that's one of the issues. And also, I'm not saying it's not possible to test GTK3 interfaces, but basically it's not that simple, and we don't really have any unit test coverage. Like there are people from, for example, the Fedora QA community that do test Anaconda, but what they are using is basically a screenshot or graphical bitmap-based testing right now. So this is something that could be improved. And also, what we have seen in the past years is that there seems to be a clear trend towards using web UIs for system management. Some of you might still remember some of the system config tools used on Fedora and CentOS and RHEL that used to be available to configure stuff like services, networking, firewalls. All of these over time effectively became cockpit plugins for the cockpit web console. So this seems to be the trend overall for system management as far as we can tell. So what we kind of found out, there are some benefits of doing something about the current UI situation and doing something about it with a web technology-based UI. While we are at it, we can address some of the UX issues we have right now, because it's effectively a fresh start right now. It's easier to achieve a consistency, because yeah, you are building the whole thing, so you can make sure that it feels similar. It's using the same concepts, the same workflows for everything, hopefully. Also, another thing is that given the proliferation of web UIs everywhere, basically, there seems to be much bigger community of users, of developers of these technologies. And there is overall more documentation. There's even more resources for non-developer roles like UX designers or usability testing projects. And this seems to be, unfortunately, quite lacking in many native GUI libraries right now in comparison to the web technologies. And also, like, one quite big point for it is that using a web UI, just to be specific, we are going to use the web UI both locally and remotely. So we want to run it for the local graphical session, if any. But also, it makes it much, much easier to access the installation remotely. So for any headless installations, it should be much easier for the users using the installer to connect securely and much more efficiently to the host that is being installed. Also, the host doesn't have to contain any graphical dependencies effectively, because all the rendering is happening on the client, so the installation image could be much smaller, and also the installation time resource requirements could be much, much smaller. That could be an issue for stuff like Raspberry Pis or some IoT SBCs, which are perfectly fine for the tasks you will be using them, but if you try to do a graphical installation on them, bearing like possible issues with drivers, it might need much more resources to just install, to bring up the graphical interface, than it will be using for its lifetime of doing some useful work. So let's talk a bit about the technical details of the tools that we are using to build the UI for the Fedora installer right now. So this is the overall architecture. The installer is already modular in that it has a Python backend, which has a dbus interface. Then we are using Cockpit to provide us a bridge between dbus and the web application, which itself is then written with React.js for the logic and Patternfly for the web UI widgets. The current Anaconda with the GTK 3 UI, with the text UI, and even with the Kickstart support is actually using the same Python backend, and it's even the GTK 3 UI already is communicating with the backend via dbus. So this makes it possible for us to right now work in parallel, that we are building the web UI next to these other UIs right now. Just instead of like directly calling dbus, you have Patternfly widgets, React talking via dbus, calling dbus calls from the backend. This is very similar to Cockpit plugins in general. Usually you have the networking screen in Cockpit, for example, and what it does, it's talking to network manager via this bridge. It's doing dbus calls from JavaScript. That's basically the idea of Cockpit, and we are reusing this for our project. I've already mentioned this. It's not about like another UI that you can remotely access while keeping the current graphical interface next to this. Like, eventually, once we cover all the necessary functionality for the given project or product, it should replace the current graphical interface. But right now, it's being developed next to it. And thanks to the modular backend, thanks to the dbus interface, it's not that hard to do it. Also, one more thing that we found very, very useful is the Cockpit test framework. This is addressing the issue I've mentioned previously about no unit tests for the graphical interface. This is something that has been developed for the Cockpit project itself, which directly maintains a lot of the screens you will see when you install Fedora and or CentOS or some such distribution and enable Cockpit. But there are also many community maintained outside of the main community developing Cockpit, many other Cockpit plugins. So that is a very comprehensive and I would say very nice test suite, which makes it possible to essentially write Python unit tests that then manipulate your web UI or your Cockpit plugin, in our case, the Anaconda Fedora installer web interface. And it also supports pixel testing, which we are thinking, yeah, this is nice. But then we actually thought about the other issue that most web applications have, and that's dependencies. There are dependencies being pulled from NPM for Patternfly, for React.js, any other libraries you might need to use. And the problem with this is that the release cadence is pretty fast. There are new versions of Patternfly all the time. And it would be very easy to get left behind, basically, to have very big difference in using some old version and being much harder to upgrade later on. And pixel tests make it much more easy to update this automatically or almost automatically, because you can effectively compare if you see any graphical changes from the old to the new version. Same thing for any changes for the web UI. You can easily see what the new state looks like. If you see some changes that are expected, if you change some label or add a button, or if the layout is totally wrong. So yeah, this is something I can recommend for web applications. It seems to be very, not something we expected to be using, but it helps a lot. And it's a part of the Cockpit test tooling. So how far we got? This all started about a year ago in earnest. And right now we have very simple but end-to-end installer images that can be used to demonstrate the web UI. And you will end up with a functional, minimal but functional system. It's possible to select an installation language. We already support geolocation, like with the current GTK3 interface. It's possible to select disks. It's possible to dynamically add disks. Again, this is kind of a demonstration of some dynamic behavior we wanted to have there. That's it right now for storage. The storage, I'll talk a bit more about it later on, but that's one of our main focus points, because that's like the 90% of every installer. We have a review screen where you can see the settings, and where you are also told that you shouldn't really run it right now on any production system that has any useful data, because you select the disks and we will use them, we will wipe them and use them. So that's the minimal storage we have been able to come up with for now, until we have some more comprehensive screen where you can actually keep partitions and stuff like that. And the last one is just a progress screen where you can see the installation happening, where you can see some errors if there are any, where you can kind of guess how long it will take, because that's not always easy to tell the user correctly. So to have at least some pictures in the presentation, so this is in general how it looks like. If you've seen the current Anaconda, this is quite a departure from it. We decided to have a flexible wizard layout. And if you've seen some Patternfly applications, this should look pretty familiar. And that's one of the aims as well. People who use Cockpit or some other applications using this toolkit could be quite more familiar than seeing a bit outdated GTK3 interface in some unfamiliar theming. So as you can see, it's pretty similar. This is the installation destination screen. We already have some built-in help support. You can click on some of the information links. You will get a doc with help content. This is demonstrating just some simple disk selection. You can plug in an USB drive already to add more disks. We expect this to grow in functionality quite a lot for stuff like network attached storage and more complex disk layouts. And this is the review screen. Right now it looks very similar, but again, we expect this to grow quite a bit because as we add more screens, this should directly proliferate here. And we are looking into ways how to, for example, visualize more complex storage layouts because yeah, that will be challenging, but it was one of the pain points we got from users so far. This is the progress screen. This is basically the last thing you will see. Then it will just tell you, yeah, you are done. So that's it, like four screens right now. But it's already producing functional systems. One other outcome of this project so far is preview image. Sorry for the long links, but essentially the main information, if you go to Fedora magazine and type in Anaconda, you will get a bunch of articles about the web UI because that's what we are writing about Anaconda right now. So there is a preview image. The idea is that we refresh it once every time we add something visible. Right now, it's about like a month old, but I would expect some new features landing in the next few weeks. So this will be updated regularly. And that's the best you can use right now to have a feel of how the web UI looks like. It's a self-contained image that effectively dumps F37 user space into the machine that you run it on, and please don't run it on anything production resembling. So we found some challenges like working on this. We have a huge amount of functionality. The project is old. The current UI has been used for like 9 years. So we are really trying to kind of check what is being used and what not, so we don't go insane implementing it all. So that's ongoing. We try to identify and avoid some of the UX problems we had right now. And keeping things consistent. Like that's one nice thing about Patternfly. There are pretty nice UX guidelines that you can apply on many things, and that helps to keep the UI consistent. Another issue is like how to run this locally. That's not that easy actually, because like the web engines are pretty monolithic, pretty big, and they come with some mainly RAM requirements, not to mention the image size requirements. And there are actually not that many usable web engines on Fedora. It's effectively GDK WebKit or Firefox. And each one of them has some pluses, some minuses. So right now we are still comparing these two and deciding which one to use. For remote running, that's kind of not our problem that much. Even that's another issue with Patternfly. Like if we see some corruption, some like layout issues, it quite possibly would affect other Patternfly users, and we might not need to do something about it unlike if we used some very, very custom web UI stuff. For the remote running, another issue is how you actually authenticate the thing, how you encrypt in a useful manner. So this is still ongoing how we solve that. It might not be pretty, but one way is to show some certificate fingerprints to the user. To show some generated passwords or stuff like that. Another option is to use custom images. That might be perfect for some cases, too bothersome for others. So we will see right now. The web UI image you can use right now is disabled right now, but if you use the inst.webui.remote option, you can actually access the web UI remotely, but you need to pass it because it's like totally unsecure right now. These mechanisms are not yet in place. This is really in the planning stages, and we don't have much time to talk about it. But the main focus is definitely storage. This will be big. We plan to have something that you can manually do, something that guides you. And it should start landing in the next few preview image releases, definitely. More screens, definitely. The priority is driven by the first image we could replace, basically. So right now there is like some date and time work already running. We have some mockups for user and root password configuration. We need to add the error reporting definitely and other stuff. Definitely add-ons, already the UI supports them. We need to keep it. And yeah, I think this is actually, yeah. So this is, So this is the effectively the last slide, and it's, I think we can start with the questions. Just quickly, like, storage is a big focus. This is a way you can provide feedback to us about it. And let's start with the questions. Thanks.
Hey, Martin. I don't have a question per se. Oh, yeah. Right. Uh-huh. So I really appreciate the stuff that you folks are doing. I tried doing this myself by wrapping Kickstart with Vue.js, Flask, and I thought that it would be really feasible, really easy thing to do. But when I started implementing it, I came to know the kind of intricacies that I was to take care of. So I'm totally looking forward to what you folks end up doing. All the best.
Thanks.
Anna Kerner has now just nice features as escaping to a terminal, for instance, to bypass things Anna Kerner can't do at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you retain that too, or plan you to do?
So the current text interface, as well as like if you can access the machine locally, it should still be possible to do like anything in the terminal that you can do today. And mm-hmm. you should be also able to use the existing text interface. We won't be changing that.
Yes, but you can escape the web interface and get a terminal, or what is the way to do that?
This is not like yet settled, like if we will include it, but the cockpit project has a built-in terminal emulator.
Yes,
I could imagine this to be included in the web UI. So
okay.
We might be able to include it in our web UI as well.
Would be nice if you did.
Yes. Thanks for the feedback.
Thank you for the talk. I think this is very interesting, and I think it's a good idea. It, you know, certainly convenient to set up headless machines this way. But at the same time, I was wondering, I think it was Alex Larson who wrote this Broadway backend for GTK. So basically you could use GTK and it would output to what goes into a web browser. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just comes to my mind, why not use something like that instead? Because I think that if you, we want to continue to invest in GTK and technologies using GTK because we need GTK for Fedora, but we don't really need web for sure. And so if we can end up using GTK and investing more resources there, maybe this makes it just overall better for the whole health of the ecosystem. And we get our web UI too.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Yeah. I must say I don't have like really like very recent information about it, but we looked at it a while ago basically at the Broadway technology. Yeah, it definitely looked interesting, but it looked more like a tech demo back then. It could have progressed since then, but I think there have been some issues like with authentication or possibly performance. So yeah, that's a good point, but I don't have like latest information right now for it.
I would check.
Okay.
I mean, then you can have always your, you can have the GDK and you have your web, everyone wins with one code base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, just another question. Before Fedora's 37 release, we had a discussion about soft-rate installation using the BIOS boot machines, and we found a good solution. But Anna Kerner is currently a bit strange installing software rate on EFI systems because we don't use a EFI system partition but a RAID partition. Do we have a chance to get that fixed too?
I'm not sure. Like it's not that many people actually in the installer team, and I've been very much concerned and concentrated on the web UI right now for the last couple months. But definitely, if you reach out to us, like we have a mailing list, or we have a metrics channel, I think, right now already for Fedora. So please reach out using some of these channels, and we can look at it.
Yes, we'll do that. Okay, thanks.
Is it possible to provision the machine from the cockpit? Because you can already create in cockpit virtual machines, so it would be nice to be integrated in one place, in one console. Is it possible, or do you have such plan?
I think it's a... I don't think we have, like, integration for it right now, but that's an interesting idea. And, like, we have been thinking for stuff like satellite and some other provisioning mechanisms, that it would make sense to more closely integrate with the install, with the web UI, because you could avoid the certificate and authentication issues if you could, for example, inject something into the image. So that could work. Like, you could have, like, create machine or provision, bare metal, whatever, and it could, like, include some, like, trust chain anchors, whatever, into the installation run. And then you could then directly connect to the machine. Yeah, we have been thinking about it, but we haven't yet implemented something like this. But it seems like obvious choice for some mechanisms. And yeah, with integrating it like this with cockpit machines, that could be a nice idea. So thanks for the suggestion.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot.